Today is June 6, 2018, and this is episode number 465 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I miss Steve Ballmer. I don't miss Steve Ballmer.
I don't miss Steve Ballmer.
I mean, a little bit. I got a little anecdote for you.
Okay, anecdotify me.
Well, first, to get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, which is going to be short, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over at facebook.com/group/contextmachine and join in the conversation.
All right, before you give us the anecdote, I am totally going to come clean for everyone. The reason our show has to be short today is because I'm booking interviews with developers all throughout AltConf and Developers Conference. And to make the timing fit, we have to crunch the show today. It's me.
Developers.
Yeah.
Still don't miss them. Yeah, so I had a friend doing an education conference down in Australia. No, it's not. It wasn't an education conference. It was a MSIE, MIE, Microsoft, whatever, certified, right?
Uh-huh.
Certified teacher thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the, like 60 MIEs, and the president of whatever Microsoft group is responsible for that, flew in from the States and everything. I mean, you know, like really putting some effort into it, unlike a certain company I know. And one of the things they made very clear is that they no longer care about making you Windows everything. They actually instead want Microsoft to be part of where you are. And I would say that matches, that rhetoric matches what we've seen out of Microsoft, including from WWDC itself, where, you know, Microsoft is putting Office 365 on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. It's a huge, and this is actually why I mentioned Steve Ballmer. You know, they were so obsessed, like Apple remains obsessed about making Apple everything, but in a way that I think is not lame. Microsoft used to be obsessed with trying to make Windows the world.
Mm-hmm.
And under Satya Nadella, that's just no longer the case. Instead, Microsoft just wants to be a part of wherever the heck you're doing your stuff. And it seems to be working.
It seems to be working, and I think it's a really smart move.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's worked well enough that even I use at least one Microsoft product regularly. And that's OneNote. When Evernote changed their business model,
yeah,
it didn't make sense for me to pay for a subscription because I didn't use Evernote in the way that made that make sense. But then there's OneNote. And so I tried it out.
There's OneNote, yeah.
And it had a importer for all of my Evernote data. And I switched over and I was very pleasantly surprised, so much so that that's my just general information repository app instead of Evernote.
That makes sense. I'm an Office 365 subscriber,
mm-hmm.
but it's mainly for working in fiction because the publishing industry is.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
That's not even quite true. It's working in fiction and then also working on the occasional For Dummies project with Bob. So in the nonfiction world too. But the publishing industry is geared around Word.
Yeah, it still amazes me.
I use Word a lot for that. Well, I mean, you know, there is a lot of stuff that Word does really, really well. And editing and reviewing happens to be one of them.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It does not do long documents really well.
No, well, it does as long as you're willing to accept it as one document. Like I know someone who has written a novel. There's probably, of course, you know, tens, tens of thousands of people who have written novels in Word. Now, that baffles me.
Yeah.
That I would not want to do. But when it comes down to the editing process, so, like, you know, I write in Scrivener. I create in Scrivener.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if your book is going to be published, it's going to wind up as a Word document, and it's going to be hopefully edited in that I like well-edited things. When I did I've Had for Dummies 11th edition with Bob, each chapter was its own Word document.
Yeah, and the books that I
during the editing process.
Yeah, the books that I worked on, and when I wrote my book, each chapter was a separate Word file.
Although, yeah, I think novels, though, stay as one giant, enormous, ridiculous Word document.
That's insane. Totally insane.
Yeah. So anyway, Microsoft, yay. So there was this Apple thing this week, ongoing, WWDC.
Right.
Conference. A couple days ago, they had a keynote. You might have noticed.
I might have.
But you didn't?
Not while I was sitting with Dave, and you know how dreamy Dave is.
Dave is pretty dreamy.
Yeah. So I was focused on... Anyhow, yeah, so the keynote...
I totally get that. Keynote, so there were some things announced, and one of the interesting things out... Now, Dave is the one who pointed this out, but I ended up writing about it, is like everything that Apple announced was free.
Well... Almost everything, because they did announce a watch band, and that's not free.
Oh crap. You were right.
Almost everything Apple announced.
No, I'd forgotten about the watch band. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so here's the funny thing about you. It's the fuzz. Hit the beat, man.
Sorry about that.
Here's the funny thing about you forgetting about the watch band. Mm-hmm. When they announced the watch band, they cut to the audience, and Kelly Gaumont was in the audience, and she was applauding, and they focused on her because she was wearing last year's Pride watch band.
They had picked her out ahead of time.
Yeah,
someone had spied her.
Yes. Yep, that's exactly right. And so we were having a little conversation in the towers about Kelly being internet famous and the watch band. And I guess you weren't around when we had that conversation.
I was doing live coverage.
No, this was after the fact.
Oh, I was doing, who knows what I was doing.
Yeah, anyhow. So yeah, they announced a watch band. So it did turn out to be a hardware event to a degree.
Yeah, it's more like software. WEAR.
Yes,
hardware. It was a physical product. Okay, well, darn it, man. Anyway, so I wrote up this great piece about how everything that Apple announced is free.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go with everything Apple announced was free, and under our breath we'll say, "Oh, watch band." But let's go with everything was free, because I have a feeling I know where you're going with this, and that's actually more important than there was a watch band announced.
Well, why has no one else called me on this? Like, no one has called me an idiot. No one's politely pointed it out. No one's called me a noob.
Actually, that may play.
Why are you just now pointing it out?
Because you're just now bringing it up.
I published this yesterday.
If I'm going to publicly shame you, I have to wait for us to be in public.
Oh, right. That's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in the rules.
It's in the rules. It's like page 7. But the fact that no one else has called you out on this, I think plays very, very well with the intent of your piece. Because everything else was, you know, like big announcements, but not involving money.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's This was the first. Maybe it's been the case before, but you know, Apple. You only say what? Okay, so one way to look at it is, other than the watch band, everything in Apple announced was operating system related. But there actually were a couple of apps too. But they're going to be free apps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really trying to make a capital case about everything except the watch band being free. It's just kind of interesting because it's not like they didn't announce a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they announced a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of stuff that's going to be useful for their entire user base, and it's all useful stuff that people don't have to invest more money in just to get into that game.
So, except, of course, that it's, you know, the investment that you made in the hardware you already have and the hardware you would get to run the stuff.
Right. So assuming you have hardware that can run the new stuff, which is a surprisingly high number of people, because they dropped very little from the compatibility list.
Well, they dropped nothing from the compatibility list in iOS, and definitely a few models of Macs were dropped.
Right, yeah. I don't have a beta Mac after Mojave comes out, because my MacBook Air will not run Mojave.
Yeah, nor will mine, since we have the same model.
Yeah.
Which I imagine my MacBook Airs just took a dive in value.
Yeah.
From a little to a little less.
Yeah.
Okay, so what to you was the big thing that was announced?
The big thing for me, it was a two-part big thing, and it was the whole thing with shortcuts. So workflow becoming something that you can create complex actions that you call with Siri. That to me was huge. And especially because I've been the guy that's been saying for what, like a year, Apple needs a lady type skills for the HomePod and for.
When have you ever said that? When have you ever said that?
I've said it on lots of shows.
When have you ever said that? We've always talked about how skills were on this show at least, we've always talked about how skills were, you know, the dumb parrot aspect where you're having to train the user. Instead of the device being trained,
I believe
that's the conversation you and I have always had on this show.
The conversation
you never once said, "Yeah, but Apple needs it."
I have a feeling we were having two conversations at the same time, because what I was saying was that the way that the A-Lady is set up, where you have to learn how to say specific words in a specific way to be able to accomplish something. That parroting part, that's not what Siri needs to be. But the extendability that the A-Lady platform has, that's something that Apple needed that for a long time. They've needed to open up Siri so that developers can link into their own apps and add other enhancements. That's what I've been wanting.
That's not really what shortcuts are about. Shortcuts are about us being able to open up Siri.
Right, but developers can hook into shortcuts with their apps.
Oh, okay.
That's
right.
Yeah, so that's yeah, okay, where we get enough. What I want.
Yeah, fair enough. And my initial reaction as Apple was unveiling the shortcuts, thinking like, oh yeah, skills, great.
It just clicked for me exactly why you went down this path, and it hadn't occurred to me until just now. We actually are doing part of the parroting thing, because when we set up a shortcut, we create the words that we must say to make the shortcut happen, which is exactly what I do when I set up actions in Alexa.
Okay, but Apple has done something that I think takes shortcuts beyond Alexa skills.
And I haven't even heard what you're going to say, and I already agree with you completely. But tell me.
Okay, great. Boom, 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 boom. So Apple has taken the thing. Okay, so one of the things that you and I have acknowledged is that just like Arthur C. Clarke's a statement that any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That any home assistant that is sufficiently versed at being a dumb parrot about enough things is indistinguishable from real AI.
Yes.
Awkwardly worded, but, you know, work with me here.
Yeah, we'll edit it in Word later, right?
Great. I can't wait until I sound eloquent. That's going to be fantastic. And that the Alexa was hitting that point. Like, Alexa had so many skills and could be plugged into so many different things that it was becoming it didn't matter if she was a dumb parrot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dumb parrot recognized so many words or so many, you know, phrases that it was becoming indistinguishable from true AI, and from a perception standpoint was leaving Siri behind. And what Apple has done with this is you're not just training the user, you're allowing the user to train Siri. And that is I believe, a significant difference, a superior difference between the Alexa skill route and Siri shortcuts.
Yeah. Looking at what Apple is doing with shortcuts, I was very pleased with the announcement. It did not feel to me like they were just slapping Alexa skills on to Siri. They found a truly useful and intelligent way to add extendability to Siri and to make it easy for us to let our voice assistant automate things in a way that we haven't been able to do before, but also in a way that you can't do on the other voice platforms.
Yes. And that's good.
Yes. And it looks like, because this is a big thing that I was worried about, what happens to workflow? Because the ability to have like buttons on your home screen for specific tasks, I mean, that's a big thing. So it looks like workflow, at least for now, is staying around as workflow. So we'll be able to do the voice command thing, and we'll be able to do the regular workflow thing like we've already done, and they will coexist.
Yes.
And actually, right now, you can make a workflow if you're running iOS 12 beta, and you can hook it into Siri.
Weren't you just talking about how you talked about, like, don't run the developer betas unless, you know...
No, I'm telling people what developers can do right now.
Okay.
So if you're a developer, you can take workflows you've already created and hook them into the whole Siri shortcuts thing, even though there's no shortcuts interface yet.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what comes out of this. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I'm not going to do the developer betas. I may end up doing the public betas. I think I skipped public betas last year.
Yeah, you did.
I did public betas the year before. I did developer betas the year before. I had too much going on last year to mess with them. I'm definitely planning, at least at this point, on doing at least the public betas. And in big part because of Siri shortcuts and also the new improved Siri suggestions.
Yes. And I'm running developer beta on my iPad mini, not my iPhone. So if that explodes, I'll just restore it and it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm just going to end up risking it and going with my iPad Pro.
Man, you are brave.
9.7 inch.
And I say you're brave.
And I use that thing. I use that thing a lot, too. That's probably, well, after my Mac, it's my most used device.
This is why I say you're brave. Not because I think that the developer beta is going to completely hose devices, but I get just kind of scared running developer beta on mission critical
machines. Public beta, brother. Public beta. I'm going to wait for the public
beta. Oh, public beta.
I don't want to be on the developer. I don't want to be in the developer beta train this time around. Again, I'm way too busy right now to hassle with that.
All right. Well, then I will change from you are amazingly brave to you are prudent. Nicely done, sir.
prudent, but but aggressive.
Aggressively prudent.
So I certainly enjoyed the series suggestion stuff. I really want to see just how much better those get.
Yes.
I want series suggestions to be excellent, and it seems like Apple is focusing on that. So let's really hope that there's something there. I also like the Memoji, Bitmoji. Have you used Bitmoji?
You have. No, I haven't.
I think I've gotten a bit. Have you gotten a Bitmoji from me?
No, I have gotten Bitmoji from people, but I haven't gotten one from you, and I have never used Bitmoji myself.
I love Bitmoji. It's a lot of fun. Here, let me blow you. Let me send you a. Let me send you a heart or a kiss. Can I send you a kiss?
That'd be so sweet.
There, I sent you hearts.
Hold on, let me fire up my iPhone. Oh, there we go.
Right? That's fun, right?
That's so sweet. I got hearts and love from Kenny Rogers.
I love you this much. And, it was fun. It was fun building my avatar and trying to get as close as I could. And it's, still looks better than the real deal, but, whatever. And the messages that they come up with, there's I don't know, probably hundreds of different things where they plug in the avatar that you built it yourself. And I've enjoyed this for a couple of years now. I'm glad to see Apple take that idea with Memoji, do it a little bit differently, of course, but then, also allow you to use it in an Animoji fashion. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
I agree. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And yes, I will make a Memoji, and some people will love it, and some people will be horribly annoyed, and I can't wait to see who falls into each category.
Banana Fana Memoji.
Fee-fee-fee-foji. Memoji.
I'm also really, really excited to see tongue detection come. I think it's super important.
It's not
super important, but it's fun.
There's so many comments that I want to make that I just can't.
ARKit 2.
Yes.
ARKit 2 looks good. The shared experiences thing is fun. And this was probably the bravest moment in John Gruber's the talk show live yesterday with, did you catch Mike's last name? It was Greg Joswiak, also known as Jaws.
And now I'm on the spot, and I can't remember his last name.
I didn't catch his last name, and I haven't had a chance to look it up. I'm sure the information is out there somewhere. But at one point, they were talking about what was the setup for that? Was it so? This is the talk show live. This is what John Gruber does. Has done every year for the last few years at the WWDC, and he's had Phil Schiller and Craig Federighi. And this year it was two new people. It was, like I said, Greg Joswiak and the fellow who's in charge of AR, who is a tech veteran from Dolby and Avid.
Right.
So, and they were talking about how, keyboard Was it talking about keyboards and touchscreens?
Yes.
And how?
Yeah, the whole thing was, so Apple doesn't want to break the plane. When you're using a laptop or a computer, you want your hands down flat. And when you're doing a tablet, okay, now you're in a different position, so you're touching. But what about when we're doing AR and Gruber sticks his hands out in front of him, you know, like he's holding an invisible tablet, and he's kind of waving it around in the air, and asked about the ergonomics of that.
Right, because it's lame. I mean, it's cool. It's really cool, but it's not how we look through the world. We don't want to walk around like, and I promise you, the last thing Apple wants is everybody walking down the street holding their iPhone in front of their face and looking at the world through their iPhone. Apple doesn't want that either. There's no mm-hmm. way that Apple wants it. Apple is aware of what a short-term bad first step, but necessary first step, using your iPhone is to do, or your iPad to do AR. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that we look at the world through our eyes. But they haven't announced it yet. We know that there's a project, I think it's being worked on in Asia. There's a project for making some kind of goggles that may be canceled, may not be canceled, but they've been doing some research on it, right? We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't announced anything, and John Gruber did push on this a little bit. He said, basically saying, you know, as you just described it, like, you know, this doing this is lame, and so, you know, what are you going to do about it? And of course, that answer went to Greg Joswiak. He was the senior executive in the interview, and he's, you know, he gave an Apple answer. He's like, well, you know, there are hundreds of millions of devices right now in your pocket that can do AR, and we think that that's terrific, or something along those lines.
Right.
Is that about what he said?
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
And you know, obviously he didn't turn around and say, you're right, we need goggles. And he didn't turn around and say, well, why don't you just wait? Or, you know, didn't say anything like that and towed the company line. But it is a thing. I mean, it's like AR Kit 2 is great. You've got shared experiences. But like walking around holding your iPhone in front of your face and looking at the world through your iPhone is okay for games, but it's not okay for walking around. It's just not.
Right. It's not okay in a business environment where you're using AR as part of the business.
It's not okay for people, man.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to interact with the world through, like in the, you know, it's one thing to be holding up your phone when you're having a conversation with someone, like a FaceTime conversation with someone. That's okay. That's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's okay when you're like, well, it's not really okay, but like people walking around, you know, typing on their phone while they're having some kind of iMessage or, you know, WhatsApp or Facebook conversation or whatever. That's kind of lame, but again, it's kind of necessary to actually be doing it. But the idea of like everybody on the planet walking down the street holding their iPhone in front of them, not that that would ever happen. I'm deliberately being very hyperbolic here,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, that's not good. It's not good for society. It's not good for relationships. It's not good for people. It's not good for humanity. And Apple, like I said, Apple knows this. Apple, after all, one of the reasons why they developed Apple Watch was to find ways to get our faces out of our iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons, and then they in iOS 12, there's going to be these various controls and information that they're going to give you that will help those who want to help themselves spend less time on their devices.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Apple is not planning a future where we're walking around with our phones in front of our face. They're not. And yep. AR Kit 2, really, in retrospect, is probably going to be more like AR Kit 0.2 eventually. 0.12.
I did an interview, which will be live probably tomorrow at this point, with a guy named Colin DeWaters, and he's one of the scholarship winners for Worldwide Developer Conference, and he's into AR. So we talked about this a little bit in our interview, and I asked him about something Dave said, which is, so is it going to be AR Kit 10 or AR Kit 15 when we get to Ready Player One level? And so I posed that to Colin, and he said, actually, it'll be AR Kit 4 or 5. And I mean, this guy, I mean, he's just so smart, and I have a feeling he's right that this more immersive, more natural AR thing that we have coming at some point is going to be sooner as opposed to later, which means that the notion that Apple has some sort of glasses or goggles or other heads-up display thing coming, it's probably coming sooner as opposed to later.
Well, if they do it, I mean, there was a, what I thought was a credible rumor that Apple was considering killing the project that they've been doing. And if they are, it's because the technology isn't ready yet.
Right. And,
you know, just like Google found the technology wasn't ready for Google Glass.
Right. But Google did, I think, even though Google Glass has just been panned and I didn't like it, so clearly it sucked. It was great that Google did Google Glass because they got this out there. They exposed people to the notion of wearable display technology for our faces. And now, when everyone else comes along after that with something that's sleeker, more elegant, and is more useful, it's going to be a much easier pill to swallow because we've already gotten Google Glass out of the way. People have already been exposed to all this. And so I feel like, in a sense, Google took one for the team so that we can move forward with streamlined face displays.
I know we've got to. You got to go. You got to go. I've got a lot more to say on this. Maybe we should take this up in TDO tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
There's a lot to talk about when it comes to augmented reality and where it's going. And where we are right now, as cool as AR Kit is, and AR Kit is cool. AR Kit 2. Is going to be cooler. The shared experiences, the persistent experiences, those things are like going to be really, really cool. But we are still early in this process.
Yes. Yes, we are. Yeah. Well, yes, I love the idea of carrying this conversation on tomorrow. So let's do that.
Okay.
All right. Well, and since there are more developers that I need to go talk to, I think I need to hit this button. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Content is written by the good people of the Mac Observer. Our band was provided by Cash Slide Basis by Boom, recorded just for TMO. That's all for this week.
And I'm not sure why, but stay subscribed.
See you online at the Mac Observer.